and welcome to Spiritual and Holistic Entrepreneurs Business Circle. I'm Andrea Cowdy and I'm a content strategist, and I'm here today as usual with my partner in crime, Kerry McGilvray, psychic medium. Hey, Kerry, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. I think if you know, you're watching and you think, oh, what's with all the high vibe and all that? We just had 10 minutes of just chatting and laughing. So, you know, which is a good way to start a show. It's good energy and all that. So, yeah. And today we've got a really juicy topic that can get either really funny or really, really, really deep. And that is, why can't I follow my intuition? And I'm just going to bring that up on the screen, and it's actually working really quickly now because I have a new laptop. I have a new laptop.
How exciting!
Yes, I
today.
Yeah. So you didn't get the, you know, 2-3 minutes of Andrea staring at the screen, you know, clicking stuff. All right. Okay. So it's all up on the screen now. So I think most people would know what intuition is. We call it different things: gut feeling, hunch. You know, even non-intuitive people use these terms. But I think intuitive people are more in tune, right? when it comes to their intuition, and they also recognize it when it doesn't work. So, why is it that people can't follow their intuition?
So it is a really good question, and some of the big things that usually stop us from following our intuition is fear is a really big thing, and we're going to cover that off a lot more later on. The other thing that stops us is overwhelm. So because our intuition is really crystal clear and it usually has no feeling attached and no emotion attached to it, we kind of dismiss it. And when you're in a space of overwhelm where everything feels like it's closing in and you're stuck in that cloud of confusion, it just seems too simple. Like the intuition seems like a really simple answer, and we're like, oh, it can't be that simple. It's got to be harder than that because you're stuck in overwhelm and you think it needs to be complicated to get back out.
Yeah, that's what we're used to. We don't go for simple solutions as people. We go for the possibly most complicated solution, because if the problem is complicated, we think that the solution needs to be complicated as well.
That's right. And it doesn't have to be. So it's quite an interesting thing to see. So a lot of the clients who do come, right, and in readings or in business sessions, they're always like, when I finish, they're like, oh, that's what I thought was going, you know, that's what you're confirming what I'm already thinking. And that's because they can't see the forest for the trees with clarity, right? And that's because of the overwhelm. The overwhelm will keep you in a space where you constantly doubt the intuitive information that's coming through. So when you can step away from the overwhelm and sit in that space of calm, that's when you will actually find the intuitive insights that you need.
So it's within everyone's capability.
Absolutely,
it's not like, oh, it's a special gift, or you have to have these amazing abilities. We all have it. It's just we all listen to it or recognize it to different extent. And even intuitive people can sometimes lose their connection with their intuition.
Absolutely,
isn't that so? Yeah. So when I was doing psychic work, I had people coming to me and connecting with me and, you know, doing readings for them and all that. And I had the same experience. You know, I'm bringing all this stuff and I'm talking about it, and they go, I had the same feeling. And I'm like, why weren't you following it? Yeah, why didn't you listen? But then, you know, at the same time, you know, I can hear my, you know, my inner voice saying, well, sometimes you don't listen either. So even psychics don't listen sometimes. For all these different reasons, because we're all human, isn't it? You know, life happens, and you know, we all go through the same things that everybody else does. And just because we're psychic, it doesn't mean that we always make the right choice and we always base our choices on intuition.
That's true, because the thing that stops us from making like following it is our emotions. So pretty much that's the biggest thing that will stop us is our emotions, because being on this side of the fence, so to speak, the one who gives all the readings.
This side of the fence. There was a fence. No one told me.
Oh, my God, there's a fence. So being on that side of it where you can give all the intuition you want for everyone else but still struggle when it for yourself, it's because I'm too emotionally attached with the outcome. So that will stop me from following my intuition, because I will then have all these other things that pop up as distractions that stop me from going there. Because that's what our mind's designed to do, to keep us safe. And if keeping us safe means not following our intuition, then it will do that. It'll stop us dead in our tracks. But it does. The one thing I do want to stress to everyone, though, is that whether you follow your intuition or not, I strongly believe that we will all end up where we need to go eventually.
I think that word can be both comforting and disconcerting at the same time.
We always get to where we're going, right? We always make it to where we need. And that's the important part, that we make it to where we need. So sometimes we take the different path by making that different decision. We still get the lesson, right, because they'll present it in a different way down the track. And we will then come back eventually to the path where we were supposed to be in the first place, or maybe that was the path we were supposed to go down in the first place anyway. It doesn't matter. We always get there.
And that's it's never going to be linear. It's never going to look like this, is it?
No.
It's going to look like this.
Yes, absolutely.
This squiggly line. And I think
that's all the fun stuff.
It is, again, that word, you know, that can be both really, really positive or really disconcerting at the same time. Interesting language. But, yeah, I think what I always say about intuition is the way to learn about it is by not using it. Because when you have that gut feeling and you're not using it, you go against it. And then, you know, later on down the track you go, ah, I should have gone with my gut feeling. That's when you that's, you know, one little notch on your belt that says, yeah, you had that feeling, you know what that feeling feels like, you know what that's like in your body and in your mind and, you know, in your spirit and all that. You know what that feels like, and now you know what happens when you don't follow it.
That's right. So, and that's why, and I go on the other scale, because you know me, I'm Miss Positive Pants. So
you just have to be special.
I know I do, but it's a good special. I like it. It's a good special. So on the other side of that, I always say to follow everything that you get. Because then if you find that it takes you somewhere where you didn't want to go, where your intuition doesn't want to go, you then start to feel the difference. Exactly the same as what you're saying, but just the opposite. So in my case, they tend to actually get a couple of wins of where they can – a couple extra notches where they can have proof to say that, you know, intuition's the right way. And then that way you start to feel the difference as to whether it's your intuition or whether it's your ego trying to lead you down a distraction.
It's interesting, like, because, you know, different things suit different people. And there's just so many people that teaching psychic development out there. It's just crazy. There's so many people. And I listen to all these different people, how they look at intuition, how they define it, and how they learned about it themselves. Because it's one thing to, you know, for us to tell people about how it works, but the real change happens is when they figure it out for themselves, or when they it's that recognition, like, oh, I just used my intuition and it was awesome. So I think it just takes it to that whole other level.
It does. And when the more you follow it too, is the more you hear it. So that's the trick, right? You have to start to trust it and continue to trust it, because if you don't trust it, then you're not going to hear it. So that's the other reason that it'll stop you from being able to follow it. So if you can trust it and continue to trust it, even if some of them you were slightly off, or maybe you didn't quite see the reason for going wherever it was sending you, it doesn't matter, because eventually hindsight kicks in and you'll work it out. But if you continually trust it and continually follow it and always go with your gut instinct, in men's case, then it tends to be stronger and stronger. And that's ultimately how you develop it. You just have to keep using it.
It's a muscle.
It is a muscle, absolutely.
It's a muscle. If you don't use it, it will atrophy. It will lose the tone, or in this case, the tune. It will lose the tune. Okay, so let's talk about overwhelm, shiny object syndrome, and intuition. How do these three things go or don't go with each other?
So overwhelm can cut off your intuition because you're stuck in emotion and you're not clear thinking. So that's a really clear cutoff point. Now, shiny object syndrome. Now, that's a really funny thing, I think.
It is. It wasn't even a thing up until like a few years ago, probably, when it all of a sudden came onto the scene and everybody started using it. But that phrase had stuck around, which to me means, you know, it's become a part of normal language now, which means it's valid. So a lot of people recognize it as a thing, as an actual thing.
Yes, and every time I talk about it, I feel like the cat that chases the red light. And that's what it's about, right? So shiny object syndrome, when you're attracted to shiny objects, and these could be courses or these could be, clothes or whatever it is that attracts your attention that becomes a distraction from your intuition, you actually get an overwhelming feeling of excitement from these shiny objects. That's their design. They're designed to create this excitement or this fear in you that makes you want to buy it. So that's what it's designed for. And when you feel that comes up, my first response to that is don't do it. Because you need to go back and sit in it without the emotion to work out if it's the right thing for you. Because they've used the right language and the terminology to kick up those emotions to get you to purchase something. So you need to kind of really step back from that and actually start doing a pros and cons list and take it back to logical steps to take the emotion away so that you can work out whether your intuition's actually guiding you to that or not.
It is so easy, especially when we have something that we don't want to reflect on, or we don't want to look at, we don't want to change something that should be changed. So all these things that we really need to be working on, and then something else comes along that our mind perceives as a better deal, or something tempting, and we go, it's almost like, you know, here's eat your fruits and vegetables over here, but look over here, we've got some chocolate and cake. And all that. You know that that's bad for you. Well, chocolate isn't. It's not very well. Yeah, if it's dark chocolate, it's good for you. But you know,
chocolate's a plant. Plants are salads. Chocolates are good.
Exactly. It's a perfectly good reasoning. Oh my God. You know, light bulb. Okay, so chocolate and vegetables and fruits on one side.
That's right.
And you've got cake on the other side, and you know that you should be eating the healthy stuff, but that other thing, that cake, is so much more tempting. And I can't believe I'm using food analogies again. It's a thing, I think.
But it's easier anyway, to visualize.
Yeah, yeah. So it's easier to reach for that because it's attractive. You know that it's going to give you that buzz. And forget about all the other stuff on the other side that you really should be concentrating on. And this is something that...
Yeah, go.
I was just going to say that this is something that happens with psychic practitioners all the time. I think when I see people jumping from one modality to the next, to the next, to the next, or doing all these certifications and... all these different things, these weekend courses, you know, just short bursts of excitement about something new and all that sort of stuff. And they amass this thing at the end you know, they've got all a mixture of all this stuff, while they're actually ignoring the deep healing and transformative work that they should be doing for themselves as well as with other people.
Yes, and it doesn't mean that you can't do courses, by the way, because that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Because part of being a success is being happy, and happiness to me is being is growing and progressing. So growth is important. So development is important, but it doesn't mean that, you know, business is a perfect example for me. So everyone has their system, right? Everyone has a system to sell you. Everyone has the new fancy piece of hardware or the new foolproof system to get you to your six-figure year or whatever it is, right? They all have this system that they like to sell you, the next new thing.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to get sucked into that, especially when you're an energy worker, right? Because we forget when we look at that language really impacts us more than some, because we're so in tune with language and energy. So
yeah, it's the empathy behind it, I think.
That's right. And we get sucked in so easily to the next big thing. And it's so hard for us to kind of make that distinguish between the two, that it's actually just a shiny object. So, you know, there's people out there that will go, you need to buy this marketing system, and it's got this software, and if you have this software, you know, it'll automatically spew all these people to your website, and, you know, you'll boost your numbers and everyone will buy. I don't know, some random stuff, right? And some of them are just that. Because they work for some people, but they don't work for us energy workers.
So this is where you need to step back and go, do I really need this? So checking with your intuition and go, do I really need this, or am I having a shiny object syndrome moment where I feel like, oh my god, I get sucked into this and I just I just need to have it. Like even this is a really clever marketing method that really does work.
It does.
Just look at things like, you know, chocolate bars and all these impulse buy things at the checkout at supermarkets, where you look at it and it looks attractive and, oh, I need to have this now, you know. And then before you even know it consciously, what it is that you're doing, you're chucking it into your trolley or into your basket and putting it through the checkout. You don't really need it, but it was so attractive that you got sucked
in. But it was half price.
Don't I know that? I'm the worst for that. You know, if something is discounted, I actually had to discipline myself the last couple of years, you know, because I had this real thing about not spending full price on anything, you know.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I can get bargains and all that sort of stuff with pride, you know, but I think this is for another show about worth and all that sort of stuff. But all the ideas that we come up with.
And see, that's what shiny object comes down to, right?
Worth. Exactly. Exactly.
And the quick fix. So if you were looking at something for the quick fix, then it's not for you, because ultimately everything that we talk about on this show, whether it be business or intuition, you can't get with a quick fix. You have to put in the work. You have to do the work. You have to do the spiritual and physical work to get the results. You can't take a shortcut. The quickest shortcut.
There is no magic pill, is there?
No. The only shortcut you can take, as far as I'm concerned, is following your intuition. That is it. Because it does know the way.
I never looked at it that way, that it's a shortcut, but essentially it is. Because instead of going through, you know, thinking about something for days and days and days and then making a decision, if you are really in tune with yourself and use your intuition to make your choices, then it's going to make the decision-making process a lot quicker. But this is the thing. It's not going to happen overnight. Like you said, intuition isn't just going to turn itself on like a light switch. right? It doesn't yeah. work that way. So yeah. like you said, it's something that you work on, and it goes by trial and error.
Yeah.
When you see, when you listen to it or when you didn't.
And think of all okay. those hours that you would have spent toggling through the thought process of the decision making that you could have spent, you know, moving forward, doing something productive in your life or in your business.
Mm. Yeah.
It is a shortcut, but you do need to practice.
I think a lot of people have like problems like, you know, staying up at night or even in their sleep. Like I know because this is what happens to me sometimes. And if it happens to me, then it probably happens to other people as well, that even in my sleep, my brain is trying to work out problems. You know, it's processing, it's going through stuff and it's filing stuff and looking for solutions and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, I'd wake up in the morning and I would be none the wiser. And then all of a sudden, you know, during the day, I have a moment of clarity where I'm not, my brain isn't working on the problem, you know. So that allows me to tap into my intuition and, you know, bam, there it is. There's the solution or there's the path forward, you know.
And it's interesting, right, because, like, I go to some of those self-development workshops and day events and stuff like that, like I went last week, right, and every single person who stood on that stage, and there was about six of them, all talked about either intuition, that they use their intuition to make decisions because there's no need to be making, you know, week-long decisions, or they talked about their gut instinct. And that's basically what most of us call it, right? And they've worked it out at the peak level that they're at, and they're worth billions and billions of dollars, right? That the way to get there is by following your gut. So I'm not saying that if you follow your gut, you're going to get to billions of dollars, but you're going to get to where you want to go. And in their case, it was being successful at that level. So you need to follow your intuition. It's the biggest thing you have to learn while you're here.
So we've got people watching. I would love to know, and I'm sure you would as well, Kerry, what it is currently that is holding you back. If you feel like you're holding back with your intuition, what is it that is holding you back? Why are you not using your intuition? Or why are you not using it as much as you know you should or could? So please feel free to leave some comments. We'll read them out and add them to the discussion. Go for it. If you're watching, feel free. Okay, so Martina says, intuition is a natural process. If we don't force it, it is just there. Let me put it up on the screen. Yeah, it is there. Everyone's got it from the get-go, so it's not like you have to develop it during your lifetime. It is there from the very beginning, isn't it? Because it is.
Babies intuitively know when their mother is near, because then they start to cry and want to get picked up. But they can sense that, you know, from when they're an absolute baby. They can intuitively know, because no one tells them when they need to be fed. They intuitively know that they need to be fed, or they intuitively know that if they cry, someone will pick them up, you know. And the only difference between then and now is that so much of society's conditioning gets in the way. And yes, everybody has it, but some people ignore it to the extent that they can't even hear it at all. So the ones who say that, oh, no, it has to be a gift or something because I don't have it, it's just because they're not listening to it. They can't, you know, they have to change the way that they live in order to get to that space to be able to hear it. Every single one of us have it. It's not a gift. We are born with it. It's natural. 100% right, Martina.
When people say it's a gift, I say, yeah, it's a gift in a way that it's there for you to use. It's not like someone has to give it to you. It's a gift. Yeah. The fact that you can use it is a gift.
Yes.
I think. All right. Michelle is saying, I get so overwhelmed that often I miss it.
Yes.
That's what we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah. Very, very common, Michelle. And it's all about when you get stuck in that overwhelm, to kind of go and find some time out and have a moment out where you're not thinking about that stuff. And maybe that For you, that could be that you listen to some music that drowns out the rest of the noise that's in your head, or maybe you go have a nap, or you meditate, or you just go out into the nature and sit in the sun and just try not to think about anything. Just something that kind of stops you and stops the thoughts that are going on in your head, and then just see what happens. And the really good thing to do when you're stuck in overwhelm is to journal.
Instead of having all that stuff swirling around in your head, just the practice of journaling helps put those thoughts in order while you journal. So it comes from your head and goes, you know, out your pen, or if you're typing, then it's that process itself distills those thoughts, and it's easier to separate what is yours and what isn't. Mm-hmm. I think in that process, like I journal a fair bit, and this is what I feel like before I sit down. It's just like this mass of, you know, really like it's like a ball of yarn, you know. Yep. You don't know where the end is, but once I start writing, it starts to unravel, and by the end, just by expressing, finding the right words, and not even finding the right words, but letting the right words come out, you know, that's what helps kind of get rid of that, you know, head thing.
And not filtering them either. So don't look at them as if they're right or wrong. They're just words.
Mm. All right, we've got a couple of other things here. Kelly says, my guides have stepped back. Any idea how I can get them back?
So interesting question.
And how does this relate to intuition? I can see the step, but I'm going to let you cover that, Kerry.
So it depends, obviously, on your belief system. So mine currently still has guides as part of that belief system. And I actually don't feel that they step back. Now, I know that this is a very religious poem, but most of us would know the Footprints poem, right? So most of us know that when there's only one set of footprints in the sand, the idea is that's when they carried you, right? And to me, that's what usually happens when they, what we deem as stepping back. They're giving us space to move through something, and they are supporting us on such a deep level that we just don't feel them there in the capacity that we used to. They are 100% still there. They can't leave. Like, you know, they're not allowed. Really, like especially your main one who's attached to you, they can't leave. There's no checking out, no quitting. So they don't actually leave. They may step back to give you space to grow, because sometimes you need to go through those lessons on your own, and they will be right there supporting you spiritually. So you just got to go through the process. Set aside time to reconnect with them if you want to try and get that connection back and growing. Write to them, you know, talk to them. All of those things will help get that back.
So this is actually a sign of upgrading, so to speak, not downgrading.
No.
Yeah. I remember during my spiritual development process or psyche development process, there were times when I felt like all the stuff that I was doing, that I have been doing, stopped working. Mm-hmm. And I've reached this plateau and I just can't push through, you know. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I should have listened to my intuition, because my intuition was telling me that I needed to step it up and trust myself more instead of deferring to something else or someone else in my work, you know. So it's just one of those things. A lot of people think that this is when this happens, that, you know, that their abilities or their skills are winding back down. No, they're actually winding back up because you need to up level. That's why this happens.
And I've perfect example of this was probably about 18 months ago. I went through the same thing. When I was reading, I could feel them step in, step back, you know, the whole thing. And I'm like, sweet, they're here. And then there was about 3 months and I'm like, where the hell did they go? I can't feel them going in and out anymore when I was doing readings. And even though my readings were still spot on, I was petrified that they weren't there, right? And I'm thinking, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, get your asses back here. And then one day when I finally, you know, talked to myself and got myself all nice and quiet, what they were just told to me was basically I'd integrated to a level where now we're basically one and the same, and I now don't go in and out anymore. The energy is just constant. So I'd stepped up to a level where my vibration is a lot closer to theirs now, so I don't feel the shift. So sometimes that's what happens. So don't always expect, Kelly, that you will then start to feel them stepping in and out again, because it could mean that your vibration has lifted enough that you now don't feel the difference.
You would expect these things to happen on a regular basis in psychic development, because the point of it is constant evolution. Like, you're constantly developing. You don't reach a level and you stop. Well, you can. Some people are not willing to, you know, push further or question or, you know, develop. But when you're in that space where you, you know, you want more, you want more, you want more, they give you more, or the universe or the divine energy or, you know, whatever you want to call it, but you need to recognize it. Well, we all call it different things. You need to recognize it, where it's coming from and how it is an opportunity. Kelly says that's what's happened to her as well. There you go. Okay, so it all makes sense. Excellent.
Funny that, because I thought she needed to hear that.
You must be psychic.
Don't tell anyone.
Oh, no. All right. Well, let's talk about when we aren't doing what feels good. What is that all about?
Okay, so when we are doing things that lower our vibration, so this could be when we're playing the role of victim or Miss Negative Nancy, or maybe we're gossiping, or, you know, planning revenge on whoever it is, even though that's can be good to move us forward as long as we don't stay there. You know, whenever we're in those lower vibrational states, it makes it very, very hard for your intuition to step in, because intuition is such a high vibration. Right? So when you're playing in the lower levels, you may not hear it. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, how you've got people out there going, I don't have that. Are they also the same people that are at the party who are bitching and moaning about everything? And
that's juicy,
right? Because just because there's a negative aspect to everything, there's also a positive aspect. So if you can train yourself to see the positive side and do what feels good and keep yourself in that feel good space, then you will get more of your intuition. But if you want to hang around in a negative space, then you're not going to get much.
That's a space you create for yourself.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Positive space. Like, the negative space happens because as humans, we will gravitate towards the negative by default. And I was talking to someone about this morning, that this is just us being human. That when you want to shift that, that's not going to happen on its own. It's not like all of a sudden it's going to fall on your lap and, oh, everything's positive now. This is a space that you create for yourself, isn't it? So it's something that you consciously and actively do.
Yes. And see, a lot of people will actually drop their vibration so that they can fit in. And this is a really big thing, right? They get their significance by the problems that they carry around. So they share all those problems with other people because people like problems. People love problems, and problems love other problems, because then everyone feels like they're connected. And they're connected for the wrong reasons. You know, you can still find connections outside of that circle with other people who are looking at solutions for things, or who are playing in the happy, high vibe state. So most of us have a group of circle who are like that, right? Who have that, have at least one or two people who like to hang out in the poor me office. And, you know when you're around those people, absolutely misery loves company, oh, my God.
Yeah.
When you're around those people, if you haven't learned already, chances are you're not going to tell them about your successes, because they'll turn around and go stuff like, well, it's easy for you because you're successful. And they won't take the responsibility that they can move themselves out of that space. It's just because then they'd have to acknowledge that they're in that space to begin with. And responsibility is a really big thing. So you have total control and total responsibility about how you feel and what focus and attention you give to things. And if you can give the focus and attention to things that feel good, then you will create more of them. And the more of them that you create, the better you feel good, the more intuition you hear.
It's really so it's like a side effect. That's the bonus. Is. So you don't necessarily have to go, I'm going to work on my intuition today. But you can work on your mindset or creating a positive space for yourself.
Yeah.
And like we're not talking about creating this artificial feel and look of yes, everything is all positive and love and light and I love everybody and all that. No, that doesn't happen because you know again human nature, you get positive and negative all at the same time. But when you actively work on making your own life better. Or creating transformation in your life that is positive, and you're creating those things in a conscious and deliberate way, that's when those things will start turning around. And it can mean things like you say no to gossip. You know, when someone sits, like the example that you used, Kerry, that, you know, you're at a party and people start gossiping, you can remove yourself from that space, go and sit with someone else or go and do something else. Or
go get a drink, go to the bathroom.
Or change the conversation, you change the topic. You know, so it's these things that you can do that are very simple, but you need to be aware of what's happening and how it's affecting you and then make that conscious decision that you're going to shift it and transform it into something positive.
Even something as simple as instead of spending an hour on Facebook, getting depressed at what everyone else is doing, just going out and walking the dog if that's what makes you happy. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to do anything spectacular. If you love to go dancing, go dancing. You know, if you like to sit and have a coffee on your front porch, sit and have a coffee on your front porch. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just about making those tight little choices of staying in that feel-good space. And you're right.
Coffee fixes everything anyway. So
totally. Plus chocolate or Tim Tams.
Now I want Tim Tams.
I know.
You're terrible. You're terrible.
I am. I haven't eaten, right. So I'm hungry.
I had lunch just before, you know, so you guys can't hear my stomach growling. Lee is saying that when she feels low, she writes in her journal to help raise her vibration and improve the mood.
Yes. Yeah.
We've spoken about journaling just a little while ago.
Yeah. And we've spoken about gratitude quite a lot because that shifts your vibe almost instantly. So it's one of the biggest things that you can do. And it's the same for manifesting, right? So when you're manifesting things, you don't have to, and I was only talking about this the other day, like a lot of people teach you that when you try and manifest things, you have to imagine like you've already got it. The hack to that is you don't. You can just do things that make you feel happy, because when you have that, you're telling yourself that you'll be happy. So if you just do things that make you happy, then you're already in a vibrational match. And that's what gratitude does. It puts you there in an
Heartbeat. Like this thing about imagining that you already have it, that never made sense to me, because I'm like, I can't imagine what it's like to sit in a Lamborghini because I never sat in one. You know, I saw it on TV, so I know what it looks like, but can I imagine it for myself? No. So that never made sense to me because, you know, what I'm imagining is something fictional. So it may, you know, be the complete opposite from what it actually feels like to sit in a Lamborghini. You know? So that never made sense to me. But we're digressing, so I'm going to bring the conversation back to our initial topic, which is, you know, why can't I follow my intuition? Okay, so
that does all count, by the way, just quietly.
It does, because when you
like to rein in.
well, you know, we have a show to finish and, you know, content to deliver. Content is my thing, you know. So
it's all important.
It is. We have a lot to say and we want to make sure that we say them.
I know.
Okay. So next thing is things that that people do that tune them out. So we talked a lot about tuning in, because that's what learning about your intuition is about, learning to tune in. But what other things that can make people tune out?
Well, I think we probably covered most of those with the whole negative Nancy stuff. So whenever you're, definitely really quickly, it's all about the low vibe. So the more low vibe you are, the less you'll hear it in a nutshell. So that's what you need to get away from.
I think sometimes what can also happen is when you think you're following your intuition and you make a decision and it turns out really badly, and then that creates that pattern in your mind that, yes, I followed my intuition and it turned out badly, therefore following my intuition is unsafe.
Yes.
So the next time you have an opportunity to follow your intuition, your brain's going to go, no. Following your intuition is unsafe. Yeah, we tried that, that didn't work. So, you know, let's try the long way now and let's, you know, think about this decision-making process for like 3 weeks. Sometimes that can happen.
It can. And the thing with that is that a lot of the time when we think we're following our intuition and something bad does happen, it's actually not our intuition. Or the other juicy bit that it can sometimes be is that was exactly what we needed to happen in order to make us grow quicker than if we go the long way and spend 10 years trying to work it out.
Yeah, it's the acceleration. That can be confronting, especially when that learning curve is something that causes things like trauma or pain, emotional or physical pain, you know. That's the controversial side of it, I think.
Yes. It's not always easy. It really isn't. But at the same time, what we need to learn is that if it did truly feel like intuition when we made that decision, then we need to look at what we learnt out of the situation and not the fact that it was negative, right? Because no situation is truly negative. Everything has a gift in it. So everything that we go through, every decision that we make, there's always some learnings around everything. So when you start looking for the learning in things, you never actually really make a bad decision, because there's always something for you to learn.
There is, and I think in every decision, the implication is that you take responsibility for whatever the outcome is.
That's right.
As the result of your decision. And I think when you don't take that responsibility, that's when it's easier to go and blame something else or someone else. And that can have a backlash on your use of your intuition as well.
And maybe, you know, you made that decision and it was supposed to fail so that you could talk to someone who was then the real reason that you had to go and make that decision. They were the ones that you needed. Do you know what I mean? But if you hadn't been successful with whatever you had just decided, then you wouldn't have met them. So there's always different scenarios that are there for whatever reason they are.
I think, like you said, find the gift in everything. In everything.
Yeah.
Okay. So we touched on doubt before.
Yes.
A little bit. Let's expand on that a little bit more and talk about how doubt affects your intuition on the long term, maybe.
Yep. So, well, like we were just talking about then, that's a really good example of how doubt then impacts your intuition. The other way is that generally the doubt comes in the form of a fear. And the fear comes from what I call our spiritual ego. And that comes to keep us safe. So it doesn't matter what decision we make, regardless, there will always be a fear around it. And our spiritual ego will always try and stop us in order to keep us safe. So it will create doubt it will create a million ways that it's going to fail and you're going to look horrendous. And it's going to tell you all the terrible things that you don't want to hear, which then just, you know, basically has a nice big doubt fire and, you know, big party and tells you how crap you are and then leads into self-worth. And even another topic, and then that just goes down the whole spiral of, you know, then we go, bugger it, I'm going to follow my intuition, right? And then because we listen so much to that doubt, we self-sabotage it.
We create the negative outcome.
Create the failure. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're so worried about it. We attract it. And so that we can turn around and go,
yeah, that's what Kelly's saying. Doubt is a fear of failing.
That's right.
Essentially, yeah.
Every successful person will tell you that failure is part of the process. Right? It just shows you a different way, one way that you shouldn't do it next time. So it's almost like failure is just the key to the process of elimination. So you just keep trying until you find the right one.
I think people have this expectation that, you know, if I'm spiritual and if I'm good, if I'm a good person, that my path is going to be cleared for me. That it's going to be straight, it's going to be smooth, it's going to be comfortable and enjoyable and all that. But I think it's the exact opposite, that when you're a spiritual person, because you're a spiritual person and you have that awareness and your knowledge and your wisdom and all that to take with you on that path, that's exactly why you come across all these detours and roadblocks and everything, because you can handle it. You're the person who can learn from it, not the person who's completely unaware that these things can even happen, or not the person who doesn't even want to step on a path to move forward. You know,
they still can't make a decision.
People that are procrastinating and, okay, which way should I go? And they spend their life, the entire life procrastinating and not going anywhere ever, you know. So that's the thing. If you think that your path is going to be smooth just because you're spiritual, nope.
Doesn't work that way. It's like the second that you decide I'm going to go down this spiritual path, it's like, yay, break out the obstacles. We've got a live one.
It's like the universe goes, she's ready to learn, and they dump all this stuff.
Everything.
Yeah, and then you just have to make your way through it. But you put your hand up as soon as you chose this path, you put your hand up that you're willing to accept challenges and that you're ready. Yep. The universe provides, you know.
As it always does.
Yeah, it always does. It always does.
And it'll be one of the most important
ones. What were we talking about again?
Doubt. That's the thing. Like, a lot of doubt comes from the fact that they think that it needs to be easy. And when you know that it's not going to be easy, it's not designed to be easy, because if it was designed to be easy, you wouldn't actually grow and you wouldn't learn. So take each obstacle as a blessing, because with each obstacle comes something that you need to get past the next one. So each of them teach you something different that you will need later on. So it's almost
teach you about yourself. Like,
that's right.
If you never had any challenges, you wouldn't know how strong you are.
No, that's right.
You wouldn't
know
the extent of your strength. You wouldn't ever explore your potential as a human being, because you would be happy to just sit there and go, oh, isn't life wonderful? we got really wise and deep today, didn't we?
We did.
Usually we're very practical, but today's like,
oh, well, we are talking about intuition, and intuition is a deep topic.
It is, and we could talk about it all day, I think, but it's coming up to 1 o'clock, so we're winding up the show. If you guys have any questions about intuition or anything that we talked about, if you're watching the replay, feel free to ask in the comments or even contact us on our individual pages as well. If you have any questions about anything that we talked about today, we're happy to support you and guide you in your journey as well. So what are we talking about in our next show? Let me just dig that up so I can tell people. Because we actually have it all planned out, would you believe
it? We do.
We do. We do. Okay. All right. Here we go. And now my Asana wants to do some updates. Thanks, but no thanks, not right now. It's like when you turn Skype on, just like 30 seconds before you need to make a call, and then it starts updating. Okay, so our next show is on next Tuesday, and we're going to talk about self-care for energy workers in business. And this is going to be a very important topic because there are so many people who burn out in the spiritual field, spiritual industry, because they just don't know how to care for themselves, because they are providing a service. They are in service of spirit and of the people. So they often forget about themselves and how to serve themselves. So, yeah, self-care regime for people in business, for spiritual people in business. That's next week.
Wonderful.
All right. Yes. We'll leave you guys with that. Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching live and if you're watching the replay, thank you again for watching. Please spread the word about this show. We'd like to reach as many people as possible. So feel free to share the video on your pages and on your profiles, even in your groups. Let's generate as much discussion around these topics as we can. So we'll see you guys next Tuesday, same time.
Bye.
Bye.